Triple M Football is the number one football call on radio. And your front row. Welcome to the Friday Rub.
For McDonald's fan feed boxes.
Triple M rocks football.
You don't find the Friday Rub team any happier than when we pile into the Richard Marsland Studios here in South Melbourne to rip out an hour and a half of some of the best stuff you'll ever hear. As well as speaking to Adam Simpson, we're going to get ready for the West Coast and Richmond, as well as looking at all the big stories in football. We'll have Ship off from the Chief, and he's nice and wound up. The big Duke's ready. I just wandered through the car park to put some stuff in the car. Fast asleep he was. Never seen a man more fast asleep in his chariot. So Breakfast Radio's agreeing with the Duke, even though he's had a week off. And Damien Barrett, of course, newsbreaker extraordinaire, in fine form again last night. Welcome to all of you. The Friday Rub, of course, reminding you that NAB AFL AusKick starts again tomorrow at most centres across Victoria. You can find your nearest AusKick centre. Register online at aflauskick.com.au. Hello, boys. Hello, Chief.
Jim, taking a bit of licence, I would have thought off the top. Your good self. About? I think our great listeners will be the judge of whether it's an hour and a half of the best stuff they've ever heard.
It will be. And let me put it this way, Chief. Even if we're slightly off the pace and I can't remember when we've ever been, we're that far in front of the rabble that are behind us, it doesn't matter. So that's all that. That's why we've got millions listening. Hello, Duke.
Hello, Jim. Always enjoy being here in the Richard Marsland studios for a Friday Rubs. A special environment, this one. It gets people up. Damo gets a little more excited. Chief actually brings something when we come into the studio. And I'll tell you what, the Tigers have won the last three games in the West.
I'm with you, Duke.
People, strange things happen with the Richmond Football Club, and you just don't know. Maybe they do it again tonight, Damo.
You're mounting a case for the Tigers, aren't you, tonight?
No.
Because I can't.
There's no logic to it, and there's no logic to Richmond occasionally, and that's what they do. They win
Duke,
games you wouldn't expect them to.
This is a club that's under siege for the week. Their coach said, we can't wait to get in the plane and go and be able to group and bond and do all that sort of stuff. You're right, they've won their last three over there. West Coast, we understand. Damo, you'll have more on it. Might have four crucial players out, including two big defenders in McGovern and McKenzie, I think they are. Yep. So if those two come out, and Pritis is the other one with a suspected quad injury. Now, these are only whispers coming across the nullable. But
they're getting
sure
stronger
yet.
As the afternoons
so
went on.
So if they're out, then suddenly I reckon the Tigers have got a sneaky look at it, Chief.
It's interesting, though. I mean, Collingwood's in the same boat. Whenever we see a team under pressure, we just kind of think all of a sudden they're going to respond this week, don't we? I mean, Richmond have shown nowhere near enough to go to Perth and beat West Coast West Coast play decent footy. And I would have thought the money on Collingwood was extremely loyal punters putting that on too if you're backing them on form against the D. So I'm really looking forward to what both of those teams offer this weekend, because the coaches, imagine if they have another loss, the sort of heat they're going to
play. Well, I reckon, Duke, it might have been 2 years ago, Richmond fans would be able to tell me, but it might have been last year. They weren't in great nick early in the season either and went over and won there. I reckon.
Yeah, I think you're right. I can remember driving home and watching. Was it against Fremantle?
Don't remember, but it was an earlier season game, and no one gave them a chance, and they were brilliant.
And it set up a very good run for them after that. The Tigers won a number of games in a row, and they aren't as bad a team as their form would suggest. So a little more interest in this one tonight than perhaps it looks.
Interesting comments from Adam Simpson. I'm not sure how serious he was, Damo, when he spoke about Ty Vickery and the reception he'll receive.
Dean's on our coaching staff. His nose is still a little bit out of whack, so I'm sure he thinks about it most days.
Do you think Vickery get a fair reception from the crowd?
Why not? Yeah, get into him.
Look, it was a bit tongue-in-cheek, Jim, and that's, I've heard that a few times now, trying to work it out. But what we know with Adam Simpson, he's very measured, very calculated, and his history will tell you, as a captain of North Melbourne Footy Club and now coach of West Coast Eagles, he doesn't give the media anything, and that's by choice. So we're going to chat to him later on, and we need to ask him that. It's not the biggest deal going into it, but it's unlike Adam Simpson to involve the crowd in a game situation about an incident that actually happened 18 months ago.
Got a very dry sense of humour, Simo, Jim, as you know. Yep. And that's Simo's attempt at humour there. I don't think there's anything more in it than just that.
But I don't think West Coast is quite up and running either yet. And I think he's just pretty keen to get the crowd involved and maybe try and put it to bed early.
Because it was one of the more infamous hits in recent times, wasn't it? The big round arm on Cox, and went off of the ground.
Fairly big nose to hit too.
it's a reasonable size conk.
It was a big target.
Well, our producer Luke Thomas. he could do with a similar bit of treatment. because at that point, he might get some repair work done.
Get a little bit lopped off, you
reckon? When you go in, and the enforcer is a great example of this.
He is indeed.
He had his nose punched through the security door.
And he used the opportunity,
Jim, and he went in there and had a whole lot of stuff done there.
Wouldn't be the worst thing to happen to the big nose producer.
I'm telling you, our producer might come out of it looking a little better.
Exactly.
That's all as I'm saying.
Jeez, you're in good form. Chief, Tim.
Have a look. Just turn around and have a captain.
Don't have to turn around. Just poke me in the back, Tim.
It can sometimes be a blessing.
I was reminded of something I said to Dean Cox. Someone reminded me yesterday, and I'm not proud of this, Chief, but we're at a centre bounce when they first brought in the circle. And they were very pedantic, as they are with the new rule. If you stepped out by a millimetre, a free kick. And I looked over, and I do recall this, haven't heard it for a while, but I looked over and said, hey, you know, he's out of the circle. Play a free kick. And the umpire said, what are you talking about? So, well, his nose is out.
Yep, that's it.
That needs to be picked up.
That's it.
Did the umpire laugh?
He laughed, and Vic Coxie got a bit of humour out as well, which was...
You like that one, Dust?
I enjoyed that at the time.
Did you dominate him after that?
Probably not.
Come on, Duke.
Hey, the West Coast Eagles, I'm with Chief. When we speak to Adam Simpson, I'm sure he'll be the first to own up to the fact that they're not getting everything right. But how many teams do?
In the early parts of the season.
I mean, you look at Sydney, who are probably Gold Coast
had a relatively or comparatively easier draw than others.
They're playing well. I think Brad Scott, if he was in this conversation, said there's some stuff that's happened that he hasn't been happy with at all. So I don't know, Chief, whether anyone gets it perfectly right this time of year, do they?
Oh, there's always a few clubs that get off to that flyer of a start, and that can set your season up, but... Richmond have got a history over the last 5 years of getting off to slow starts and then you play catch-up. Now, they've been good enough in each of those seasons to get on a roll and find their way into the eight, but, gee, I wouldn't want to be giving away too big a start this year.
No, not given that they've recontracted Damien Hardwick, and they went hard in the trade period, both before the trade period started and within the confines of the 2 weeks of it. They missed out on the bigger names they were after, ended up with Chris Yerra, and that has blown up in their face to this point in time. And they gave every indication, didn't they, Chief, throughout the course of last year and the trade period that this was going to be a year where they go up the ladder, not the half step back, Jim, which has been the week-long now conversation around Damien Hardwick. And Darce is right. If they get out there tonight, win the game and go 2-2 and come back with a win against West Coast in Perth, we're going to back off. But if they come back with what the line in on this game is around about 35, 40, whatever it is, points, if that happens, there's going to be another week debate about where they're at.
Well, we spoke in the midweek rub, Duke, about Richmond, and I asked the Chief, when and I think you called the game with me last year, when they beat Hawthorn on that Friday night, I've never seen more manic and ferocious pressure put on a team, especially as good as the Hawks, for a long time. And they made Hawthorn cough the footy up. They made them turn it over. They made, you know, with physicality early on from Cochin and all of that sort of stuff we saw, they made this unbelievable team look a bit wobbly, and you don't see that happen very often. So my question to Chief was, I'm sure Damien Hardwick asks this constantly, where's that go? Why can't we reproduce that? Why when we get a winnable game against a Collingwood or against an Adelaide in Melbourne or, you know, all the stuff that the Tigers fans need me to remind them, they'd be saying, well, where's that? Because when we produce that, we beat the best team we've seen for the last 10 years.
It has to be attitudinal.
Yeah.
Because if you can show that you can do it and you're not doing it every week, it has to be attitudinal.
But does that then get to the coach by way of blame or accountability?
Well, I think that also comes back a little bit to the personalities of some of the leaders of the Richmond Football Club on field. And there's been a lot of discussion about whether they've got the right types that are leading and the different types of leadership that do present themselves in the AFL. So I guess it all marries into each other, doesn't it? But they've got a massive night tonight.
Yeah, it's inconsistent. That's the thing that you're right. The difference between their best and their worst is far too great. And I even look at a side like St Kilda. I don't think anywhere near the profile of where Richmond are, but I feel like they give more consistent pressure and more consistent effort already. Their best isn't as good as Richmond, but you can see there's a system building there and there's a style of pressure that I like a little bit more than I like about what you see about Richmond. And that has to be a bit of a concern, I think, for Damien Hardwick.
All right, what about the West Coast Eagles? We're going to have a closer look at this game nearer to it, but this is a team that played in the grand final last year, Chief, and I think everyone saw West Coast as taking the next step, you know, in the next couple of years. They've got a young, exciting list where they've got great bookends. They've got the big power forward that everyone reveres in Kennedy. They've got really good big defenders. They've got one of the most exciting ruckmen in the comp. They've got great midfielders. They tick in every box.
Well, they were disappointing in round two when they lost to the Hawks. I think a lot of people were expecting them to almost get hold of the Hawks, even though it was over here, because we looked at what they did last year and then they had a good round one win. We thought, okay, they're going.
Yep.
That kind of set them back a bit. But then they went back, they knuckled down, they got hold of Freo in the Derby and got the job done. So I don't think they're anywhere near the level of they were at the second half of last season. But if they have a good win over the Tigers, it won't take long for the Eagles to get up and running. And they've still got a few players to come back into that lineup as well.
Anything in the latest start to the preseason? You two are footballers. Now you with the new sort of mandate from the AFL Players Association that you've got to have your 10 weeks. The Hawks get a month less than teams that miss the eight. Is there anything in that?
Well, I'd like to think not, Jim. I'd like to think you're going to head into the system where players are so professional now and you just don't get the capacity to let yourself go like you would have maybe early 90s or, you know, when I first started. I think players understand that the game passes you by if you come back, and it'd be very rare for that to be the case. So, look, I'd be surprised. I think you could.
It's a long time, a month.
Yeah.
It is. But I think maybe the good teams will cope with that. And maybe there's a hint of a difference in the absolute hardness of match conditioning from those that have been going at it longer. But if you're a good enough team, you'll survive.
Jim, you say it's a month difference, but they actually go for a month longer, and obviously they're at the level, you know, of elite anyway. And I go back to 2011 when Geelong had its best player walk out and coach walk out. They that year, when it was all said and done with the injuries they had after the 2010 season, they didn't really start seriously until, I'd say, early to maybe even mid-January. And we know what happened. They won the premiership that year. And I know that is now 5 years ago, and in footy terms that is a long time ago, but it's still near enough to 2016 to me to think that this actually may be a better way to go with some clubs.
Longest pre-season in any sport in the world would AFL players do. If I was part of the collective bargaining agreement, I'd be putting that right on the table and saying, you know what, we want more time. We want more time away from the game. And I don't think it would affect the quality of football we see at all. And I think the experience of playing the game would go through the roof.
What have you been doing, Duke? You had a holiday this week. Did you bug it off anywhere? Or
no, just very just quiet, local. Jim. No, local, around your neck of the woods these days, Jimmy Boy.
And it's my understanding that little Freddie Brayshaw makes his debut for the local footy team, and he might have a Darcy in the side.
He's got young Will Darcy alongside of him. Bloody he's a fairly hell. Loose unit.
Don't worry, he'll have a mate right next to him.
Is this one you coached us?
No, this is the younger boys. But speaking of Nabolski, I was down there tonight on the way through, Jim, and beautiful night. The little boys are up and running, and girls too. Heaps of girls out there. It's good
How's
stuff.
He built your boy, Duke?
Not much of him, Jim. Chief, I should say.
Is that surprise you, Chief?
I thought he might be leanish.
Mine's built like a brick outhouse. And that won't surprise you either, Chief.
Terrified.
Now, AFL Auskick starts. Mother's got a lot to blame. I was watching Chief, Josh Bruce. A very, very fine player. He's made a great home at St Kilda. He's just signed a four-year deal. I think Purple, correct me if I'm wrong.
Correct.
And a very nice press conference for a young man who's just got himself nicely settled in the AFL and a really sort of feel-good presser and, you know, good members of the media assembled. And suddenly halfway through one of his answers, Duke, he starts dodging grapes.
Dodging grapes, yep. As in little round things that we make wine out of.
That's it. Teammates have been doing that forever and a day, Jim.
No. That's the problem. It wasn't a teammate. It was someone who's paid to be a mentor and a coach and a senior figure at the club.
Who?
Our imbecilic mate, Spud Frawley, has gone and grabbed some grapes and hurled them at Josh Bruce in the middle of his press conference.
A full press conference going on.
Full press conference, and he had to start dodging grapes being hurled at him. They were hitting the boards on the back, the sponsors' boards, Chief.
He's an interesting case study, our great mate Spud. I get the feeling that he gets bored at times.
Oh, do you?
And he feels a need to involve himself in whatever's going on.
He's pretty worked up during the week, wasn't he? Even more than normal by his standards over Plugger.
How would Al Clarkson...
He's entertaining though, Spud.
Oh,
he's
no worries. And he's ready to go tomorrow. You've got to be listening from 12. How would Clarko have gone if one of your key players has re-signed and you had HSBC and Tasmania and all that in the background, and of course, like it was Sam Mitchell or someone, and then one of your assistant coaches and not even a full-timer, someone who just drifts by for a couple of days a
fly
week.
Fly-by-nighter.
Picked up a bunch of grapes, started picking them off individually and hurled them at the bloke's head.
Not sure that had happened, Jim. Fortunately, we dodged that bullet a while ago. So. Might be a blessing in disguise.
Now you've got a hole on Spud. You can take a leadership role here and just grab him and just bring him back into the fold
to,
a little
Chief.
Bit.
He's Chief. A man unto himself, the great Spud.
Chief, is it right that you and he were shooting at each other today and that you might have come out second best on that particular situation?
I guess you have to take what Spud says, cut it in half. Then water
he's
it
told
down
me
a bit,
he
then cut
hammered
it in half
you
again.
And destroyed you to the point where you cracked it.
Bit of paintball.
I heard you cracked it, Chief. I heard you seriously cracked it and stormed off. Didn't say goodbye?
No, for his entire life, Spud's had an issue with playing anything by the rules.
What are
and
you
that's the problem. He cheats.
Oh, that's true. I didn't know whether you were going to go straight there.
Blatantly cheats.
Yep. And so that's what happened today.
Enough said.
But he got you, though.
No.
And I've noticed, Chief, the bounce. Has it gone back to just the bounce? Or
bounce, yep.
Bounce, yep. Or not even the, just bounce.
Just bounce, oh, just whatever, bounce. You call it whatever you like.
Well, I was watching the other day. I didn't know a studio audience had been introduced.
First time this year. Yeah, right, it's been really good. Right, and Spud loves it.
Well, that's what I was about to say. He then behaves like a bigger imbecile than he was already because there are people watching.
He's been enjoying the live audience, as have the other panel members. It's actually been good.
No, it is good. I'm just wondering how, you know, because then he starts to bring some of his Saturday Rub stuff out, some of the head wobble and some of the glass eye and all the stuff that...
They still give a decent welt, the old paintball chief. They still go... My very first week at... that's a decent little...
One on the back of the elbow.
Little bruise. My very first week at the Bulldogs as a 17-year-old, maybe just turned 18. Terry Wheeler was the coach, and he loved to do all the, you know, jump out of an aeroplane, the whole team apart from Hawk and one other who refused to jump. And then the very next week, paintball.
Whatever since Captain Gronewegen,
he decided to give
the planes a bit of a wipe.
Two greatest fears in life were heights and sharks, and they were landing in the bay, and wasn't keen on either of them, Hawk, so he opted out of it. And then the paintball had just started, had just come to Australia, and I arrived at the border. It was a very quiet, unassuming young boy from South Australia, Chief. And we had members of the SOG heading up either side. And you play, if you ever played the game, you go out and you've got to, you know, take part of this field. So I wanted out on my own. I hadn't fired the gun because I was just, you know, feeling my way through. So I laid down in a bit of a bush and, you know, sort of covered myself over courageously, Jim, and out strode through Terry Wallace, who was assistant coach at the side. And the rules back then were if you get within a metre, you're supposed to, you know, hey, I've got, put your hands up and I've got, and I thought, oh, I'll just shoot him in the leg from down here. That'll be fine. I've missed, hit him in the temple.
Oh.
He backflipped.
Had him miss a leg and hit someone in the temple.
wasn't a great shot, Chief. And he started convulsing to the point I thought I've killed him. I've actually finished him off. And courageously, Jim, I thought, I'll sneak off
I'll
here
split.
Before.
He realised who it is.
He regained consciousness enough just to see it was me.
Oh, no.
And never quite forgave me.
Yeah, Jim, when he said I was aiming for the leg, and I missed. What did you think he might have hit?
8 o'clock?
Correct. Mate, not the head.
There was a gap in the helmet. I hit him right in the temple.
Oh.
And I thought I'd killed him.
Speaking of equally weird units from the Western Bulldogs, Brian Lake. An interesting bit of audio. Golf bag, get it ready. I need to give him that much warning to get it right. Golf bag, pull this up for me, please. Because your man Bob Murphy's nuked his knee. And it's been outpouring from everywhere.
It's just been a very, very sad thing to watch.
Of support and sympathy. Absolutely. And we can't wait for you to come back. And please don't miss this, you know, golden patch of Western Bulldogs, hopefully success in finals over the next 2 or 3 years. So everyone's writing that, does he do the last? Does he do the natural? And we can't wait for him to get back, except for Brian, who went about it a different way.
For me, I think it's probably better for, I would say, better for the team for him to probably to retire. I know it's not good to say, but for a guy like for him, that I just think with the Bulldogs, it's always probably been about the individual a little bit too much, not about the team. I think for the betterment of the team and the way they're going, I think it's probably better for him to retire.
Thank you, Brian.
I'm hearing that for the first time. I've had the week off, and that is some of the more extraordinary.
I think you were a bit selfish, Dust, when you played.
Well, yeah, no. We spent 12 years babysitting that idiot who actually came out with that that comment, making sure that he didn't go off the rails. And then he lands, Chief, you couldn't believe, no man more kissed on the proverbial, and that man landed Hawthorn and up with three. And suddenly he's the oracle on all things football. Blakey, do not forget where you come from. Do not forget what a peanut you were. And you know what? Probably not the right time, I wouldn't have thought. Ship off Murph.
Probably should retire.
You've got to give him credit for courage. because it's very easy to express the common opinion.
Fine line between courage and stupidity.
Absolutely.
And he treads that line regularly, Lakey, who is a good fella, who we love. But the team, it's been more about the individual. No man has been more about the team ever in the history of the game than Robert Moove. No man has put more back into an organisation than that man. So, anyway.
You know my views, Darcy. When anyone expresses opinion, I'm never going to criticise them. Okay?
Respect so an
is,
opinion.
Is it worth... Chief, I'd ask you, is it at all worth exploring this theory of Brian Lake? At all, in any way, shape or form?
I hope Bob comes back and plays, because I think he's still playing more than well enough to justify his spot in the team.
Yep.
Whether he comes back as captain again, well, that's a whole different debate, and he probably doesn't need that resting on his shoulders. But I certainly think he's playing a quality of football. And now that we're seeing players like Brent Harvey and Dustin Fletcher, who have gone so deep in their career, if you don't lose your speed and your agility, and Bob hasn't lost that to this point in time, no reason why he can't keep playing.
The reality is it is going to be an extraordinarily hard road to come back.
Of course
at
34, it will. Of course
and,
it will.
It would be a remarkable thing to achieve. I'm not sure that they would be better off if he didn't. That
he's got some things in his favour, though, because he's lightly framed, so there's not as much stress that's going to go through that joint when you're putting the pressure on it coming back through your rehab. And the type of player he is, I think, is suited to longevity in the game.
And that role in the game is as important as it's been. The good kick at halfback has got poise and composure is... He's extraordinary, as was the comments from my former teammate.
But it's a free hit, Duke. Like, if he rehabs and comes back, you're not. It's not costing you too much to hang on to him.
He's an interesting character, Jim, in one way, in that the wrestle to play each week for Murph is a really interesting thing. And you need, if you're not 100% up to try and be, then you know you're
Well, that's his personal decision, but from a club point of view,
absolutely,
it's just a free hit.
What do you mean the wrestle to play? What are you
Because it takes every ounce and every bit of dedication. You need to be incredibly selfish to be a full-time player. And if you don't think you're up for that in 12 months and then the
you're
next
You're not referring to him specifically when you say that.
No, I'm talking about what it takes to come back from a knee at that age. It's so challenging that you've got to be up for it.
Would that battle not be a little bit easier given the way they're going and he's seeing all these young players coming through and they love his leadership and the way that he mentors them? I reckon it'd be a little easier to lace him up each
week. The heartbreak is that talking to him in the last 6 months, he said, this is what football should be like. Yep. I've never loved it more. I've never loved the way the game is coached more by Bevo. And to see that ripped away from him is a bit of a tragedy.
Ship the hell off.
Ship off.
Ship off.
Ship off.
Find a little boat and ship the hell off. Yeah, Jim, it was a quiet week. Mm. And only a couple of things caught my mind. I want to go to the Civic Compliance Victoria organisation to start with, because there's an old gentleman that sold his black Jag 8 years ago, Duke. A black Jag with plates. Sold it to a dealership which took it over to Western Australia and disposed.
Reasonable transaction.
All done legitimately. Over the space of 2 weeks this year, he got a total of $30,000 in fines and 23 demerit points. Because those plates were creating havoc out on the road. Now, not only that, they're on a pink Yaris. And he told them it's not his. He'd sold it. And they said, well, the plates are registered to you. We'd like you to pay the fines. He's taken them photos of a woman driving a pink Yaris saying, that ain't me. And they're saying, well, it's your responsibility. With it. You should pay.
No way.
Give me a spell. I mean, if that's not bureaucracy at its absolute worst, I don't know what is. Want to go to the world of rock music.
Are you actually giving him a ship off before you move?
Oh, I thought that was a given, Jim.
I like it when you say it,
Jim. The whole segment is ship off.
I know, but I like it when you.
So if you're in this list, Jim.
He does like that, too.
I like it when you just give it off.
You do say that. It has more impact.
Compliance Victoria ship off.
Very good.
Right. The world of rock.
Yes.
Now, we had a case not too long ago where the people from Men at Work copped a hefty payout over the flute riff in
Kookaburra.
The Kookaburra sitting in a
old gum tree.
That's right. It cost them plenty.
Yep.
What's happening again? Led Zeppelin had a massive hit in 1971 called Stairway to Heaven.
One of the biggest rock songs
now,
of all
time. Now, in the late 60s, they toured with a band called Spirit, and they had a song called Taurus, which was an instrumental. And now a trustee for the late Randy Wolf, who was in Spirit and wrote the song. And this is the band that had the song and toured with Led Zeppelin and for 45 years didn't have a problem.
No.
But now this trustee that's running the estate is suing them, claiming that the opening chords were stolen from the instrumental Taurus.
It did sound a little bit similar, Chief. I heard it.
Have you not heard any songs sound remotely similar? You can't reinvent the wheel.
There was a similarity, Chief. I reckon they're onto something.
Have you brought a bit of Led Zeppelin and a bit of Taurus to the table?
Every time there's a C chord, is that similar? Walk.
Well, I'm just saying it was similar. I think the attorney's onto something.
Can we have a listen?
Well, how come,
have you got either of these songs?
How come Randy Wolf and Spirit never had a problem?
No one knew Spirit.
In 45 years.
No, but why didn't they complain?
Wesley Simon.
The Godfather of Rock.
Absolutely ridiculous. 45 years later, whoever that trustee is, I didn't want to mention his name because he might sue me, but he can ship off.
Righto.
And the final one was a lot of talk about the new $5 note.
Yes.
I'm not concerned about the bloke that designed it because you get asked for new designs and you just want to throw all sorts of radical designs out there. But the flog that approved it or that chose it and said, this will be our $5 note, we now hold the mantle of owning the worst piece of currency in the world.
Yep.
So whoever that person is, and they probably only they know who actually had the final seal of approval, I want them to ship right the frig off.
Oh, hang on.
I think I was going somewhere else.
I did think you were going somewhere else, but I thought you nicely brought yourself back, which is good. I like it.
It's diverse tonight, Chief.
And I
Civic
know
Compliance Victoria, rock artist and...
And let's $5 note designer. Let's be honest, Wok, the $5 note won't affect Jim and it won't affect Duke. But you and I, normal people, we have to deal with these sorts of things.
And that is true. And I'll tell you right now, they should get rid of the 5 and 10 cent piece too. There's no point having them. They are a waste
of
time.
I'm actually with you on that.
We should just leave them on the street.
Maybe go to 20 as well, Jim.
There should be so many of them on the street that eventually the government go, you know what, we've got to get rid of these bloody things because the litter is everywhere. Honestly, who uses them? Chief, when was the last time you paid for anything with a 5 cent piece?
I can honestly say, you know when you go to the supermarket?
Yes.
And you check out, you go through the automatic checkout and the change comes out. When the 5 cent bits come out, I leave them there.
Leave them there. Oh, or if there's one of the beautiful guide dog.
Jim does that with $10 notes.
Just chuck them all in there because there's no point having them. So I'm with you, Chief. I'm not a fan of the $5 note and I'm not a fan of 5
and
10 cent
And one final push for ship off tonight was a gentleman that, I don't think, as long as I can remember, Walker, I've never seen anyone so comfortable with themselves tonight for the mistreatment of the producer, for the mistreatment of our wonderful panellist, Golfy.
There's a good body of work for this person before tonight.
James Brayshaw has reached a level of arrogance tonight that few could ever aspire to. So much so that he potted his youngest son for trying to be cocky like the old man but not having the runs on the board.
Having zero runs on the board.
He's 8 years old.
Correct.
But he walks like you, Jim.
He's got zero runs, Duke.
How many runs have you got, Jim?
He's got zero runs.
How many?
this is arrogance the likes of which we haven't seen before.
Golf bag.
So, Jim, ship off.
Golf bag just needs to be very sort of careful with what he's doing back there. That's all I said to him.
What you said
make
was,
sure.
Duke asked if he could borrow a pen. And Golfy said, well, you're always asking for a pen. And you said, Golfy, Duke's the talent. You push the buttons. Give him the pen.
I don't think that's what I said.
I think you did say that. Thank you, Walker.
You have been in exceptional form tonight, Jim.
Then you potted Lukey, who puts everything together. You thought, Schnork needs a drive-by.
Well, I did say, I think I might have said, cough the pen up, golf bag. But, Chief, it's not about me. This is about...
It's very much about you, Jim.
Your ship-off segment.
Have you taught your 8-year-old to walk like you?
That
shoulder movement and that head wobble.
Has a lot to be answered. I don't know what's happened there. I need to get quietly sitting down with all of them and explain, Duke, that swagger has to be earned in life.
Over a period of time.
And you've earned yours, have you?
Don't have any. That's why I'm a very straight walker. Why I'm a straight walker.
No, you're not.
That's the difference between me and someone like yourself.
You've got Viv Richards covered.
Who has earned the right to have swagger.
You have got more swagger than a West Indian. That's a good call, by
Walt. You've got to be joking.
Viv Richards models his walk on you now.
You've got to be joking. Never ever talk in the same. In fact, that man's name and mine should never appear in the same sentence. Hey, I want to talk about Jacob Wiedering quickly with you, Purple, because you spoke about a 5-year deal being put to him.
Yeah, look, this is what Carlton wants to do. They've got him locked away on the initial 2-year contract that most draftees get, that some bigger names get immediately or quickly rejig contract. Three matches in after he earned the Rising Star this week, Carlton, from what I've been told, Jim, and it's on, so to speak, that they do want to extend it. And I believe that when it's all said and done and they want to get it wrapped up pretty quickly, that ideal world for them will have him locked away and through until the end of 2020. And he's obviously going to get his head around that. Does he want to stay with Carlton? There's no indication at all he doesn't want to, and he's embraced that club. Chief, for what it's worth, he may be leading or in top three of the best and fairest. I know it's only three matches in, but It's been a very impressive start for a young man.
So, Duke, who wins that if he signs a five-year deal this early in his career? Is that good for the player or good for the club?
Well, depending on the number, you know, it could be good for everyone if that's where he wants to stay. He'll get paid an extraordinary sum. He should do. I saw him play last week. He had 26 possessions, took 9 marks, and looked as composed as anyone on that ground up there on the Gold Coast. And I see this week Michael Jamieson's been dropped because he's just gone past. He can do so much more already, and the way the game is played, he's perfectly suited. I'd be signing him for 5 years. Who's his manager, Dummer?
His manager is Liam Pickering.
I'd be back in the truck right up if I was Pickers.
You would, yeah.
Oh, he's a star.
But the option they've got, though, the young blokes, is to say, I'm in no hurry. Not saying I don't like where I am, but I'm in no hurry. I'll play my 2 years, which are mandatory when you get drafted, and then I'll see how I'm placed. And you know, I mean, they can do that. And if you do that, then the serious dollars will come if he keeps at this level. If he stays playing at this level for 2 years, by the time he gets close to being out of contract, the money will be telephone numbers.
Yeah, and you'd think it'd be bigger than what they're projecting it to be even now. I agree with you, but from all indications, he's a kid who has fully embraced the setup down there at Carlton. He loves what they're doing. You interviewed him, didn't you? Or spoke to him when he came on the footy show.
Chief, what would you pay him for 5 years now as a former chief of man who's done this before? So what would you put on the table if you really want to lock him away?
I'm out of touch with those numbers, Chief.
Just have a go, Chief. Get off the fence.
I'm out of touch.
$700,000 a year over 5 years?
It'd probably average out something around that, wouldn't it? Yeah. And look, the rationale there is the club could win by tying him up early and getting that security and not having someone come in with a massive offer over the top if and when the time arrives.
Would you do that now if you're Carlton?
The player can also get paid probably more than what he's actually earned based on potential.
Yeah.
And he might get injured. He might miss a lot of footy. So there's a lot of water to go under the bridge. So you can see both sides could win. It's a matter of finding that common ground where they both feel comfortable with it.
So, Chief, when you were behind the mahogany desk, I'm intrigued.
This intrigues
I'm
me
intrigued.
Too.
We weren't paying those numbers.
No,
Jim.
I know. But when you were behind there, you've got you know, often those sort of operators are, you know, have got a nice soft touch with a velvet sort of behind the glove, but you know, a nice soft touch. Whereas I get the feeling when you were behind the mahogany desk, Chief, it would have been, there's your money. Either take it and sign that right now, or out the door, and I'll see you again.
See, that's where you're wrong, Jim.
That's how
wrong.
I would have seen your attitude in negotiations.
Everything has to be collaborative. Hmm. Now, the fact that I had an anvil sitting on the edge of the desk was just decoration.
Yep. And Chief, how did you treat those jockeys when you were head of the Jockeys Association? The same way?
No, that's a completely different industry, and they were so far behind a lot of the others, basically most of the other sports, in terms of getting looked after.
Do you have to give one of the little fellas a clip at any stage?
Not at all. In fact, it was more talking to the industry than talking to the jockeys themselves,
You cleaned Hawthorn Footy Club and the Jockeys Association in the space of 2 years.
Unfortunately, we didn't have the wherewithal to get a hell of a lot of changes made in the industry, which needed to be done and still need to be done.
You liked the Harvey Keitel in Pulp Fiction, weren't you? That's just it. Came in and just cleaned it up and just Wolf. Moved out, and everyone got away with it. And
no, that's exactly what he was. And and the unknown and untold, I would like you to go on open mic. I'll do a second one where you could be asked if you actually put the number plates on the gates at Hawthorne, and if you drove into the gate and saw your number plate, you just kept driving, Duke.
You just kept going because the mahogany desk.
Is that right, Chief?
No, that's not right.
You're an ordinary unit.
None of that. There was none of the dead man walking going down the hallway. None of all those things you've run with, Jim.
Chief.
We were just trying to build something.
And you've built an enormous legacy, but you had to be firm early, Chief, and I liked it.
Did you win the comp this week again, Chief? There's a lot of interest in...
No.
As a handicap, Chief?
Walked off. So you know how you said Richmond, the gap between their best and their worst? That's me on the golf course, mate. Ridiculous.
Damon?
Yeah, West Coast now is without Matt Prittis, Jim. You forecast that some time ago, and he will be replaced by Hutchings in that team tonight. And I think that is the only change made to either side, but I'll get back to you as the info comes through.
So the other two, the queries were on the other two big defenders, McGovern and I think it was McKenzie.
McKenzie was the queries,
So they are very important players to them, and but Prittis makes a massive difference. Live watching him, Duke, is an extraordinary thing, Matt Prittis. You don't get the you get nowhere near enough of an idea on television how good a player he is.
Yeah, he's a special talent, isn't he, Matt Prittis? And I still love the fact that people will look at someone like that and say all the things and all the reasons why they won't be a great player because of speed and maybe not naturally good kicks. And they just find a way to be an outstanding player.
Never goes to ground, so strong in the contest. His hands are amazing.
If you made the game a contest of just put the ball in the middle and put all the gun players in, he might emerge with it more times. And he reminds me a lot of my old teammate Scott West. They just win the football in situations where others can't, and they do it every week of their career.
Speaking of good players, what about Luke Parker? He's got 29, you said, Damo, of the available 30 coaches' votes.
Extraordinary, isn't it? And may well have 9 of the available 9 Brownlow votes. Jim, I mean, I'll get Darce and Chief to talk about him, but coming off the injury he had, it was a very serious injury that he had last year. And we know that when he went down, the Swans' chances of the ultimate success last year were rapidly and drastically diminished. But he's just waltzed back in as though he hasn't missed a beat.
He's an extraordinary player because he can do it all. Whether it's hard inside, he can take marks. He could play like a key forward, and he's nowhere near the size of a key forward. Mm. He's a goal-kicking midfielder that just knocks up getting his 30 touches a week. And I think he creeps under the radar a little bit because he's not what we call that silky smooth mover when you watch some of the midfielders going around. But he is just an old-fashioned get-it-done footballer. And I love it. I often look at, you know, other clubs and say, well, who's the one player you take out of that side? I'd love to get Luke Parker to Hawthorn. I reckon he'd be a star.
The talented side, aren't they? When you look at that midfield and you think, Isaac Heaney, I just love as an up-and-coming player. He's going to be brilliant. You've already got, you know, Kieran Jack at the high level. Yep. You've got what Josh Kennedy's done up there for years. Hanbury.
Mitchell's coming of age, isn't
Mitchell's
he?
Just
it's
a consistent
been a work in progress for a long time, but I think the progress is there.
Big depth of talent that midfield's got, and no wonder they're flying again, Jim.
Well, great credit to our mate Gary Lyon, and you're obviously always thinking of him, because I remember, I think he must have had Luke Parker as part of his group that came through.
Yeah,
the
big country,
16s.
I think, yeah.
And he just said right from the start, he said, you can't believe he's dropped that far down in the draft. And he said, from the moment he was drafted, this kid's going to be a jet. Mm. And he just is. Yeah. It's nothing else, no other word you can use to describe him. He's an extraordinary player. Nick Riewoldt playing? He's picked. Are you going to play?
They've confirmed that he will. He's in Tassie.
That surprises you.
It surprises me greatly, Jim. And again, this is just my take on it because of the issues in the United States with concussion. We saw what happened to Nick Riewoldt last year. And while last weekend was nowhere near as drastic as the head knock he got last year, Chief, it was still serious enough for the decision to be made to not put him back on the ground. And there were parts of what the medicos saw, guys, who they just weren't comfortable about putting him back on. He basically passed the cognitive aspects of that test, but the vision that they saw, and this is part of the process now, they look back and on a replay sense what happened, and they didn't like what they saw, so they kept him off. I mean, good on them for that precaution. But and I'm not casting aspersions, please. Some people think I am when I say this, but I just think at his age and stage that another week out might have been the right way to go. But look, he's his own man. I get all that. But
and you never question the St Kilda medical staff any of the medical staff in the game because they're all incredibly professional. But he's one of those players that's had his cage rattled a number of times now over a number of years. So it's that cumulative effect that you worry about the track, isn't it?
Yep.
And unfortunately, despite all the studies that are coming out of the US and everything else, we just don't have enough evidence of exactly what some of the repercussions might be down the track and how we should deal with them.
What we do, though, have, Chief, is a vastly different way of dealing with such matters than what we had even 3-4 years ago, when at that time we were being told by the, industry and the organisations that this was leading practice around the world. Now we've clearly changed it to bring it into speed with what's going on in the leading practices. So it's a moving space, isn't it, by way of dealing with it.
Are we ever going to get to a place where it's just a mandatory week? If you're taken from the ground and unable to return to the field because you've been judged to have concussion, are we ever going to get to the point where the next week you just, like it or not, you're not playing?
Well, I'm not sure it's that cut and dry, Jim, because I don't think one concussion's like the next. Some will require more than a week.
Well, of course, but the minimum is a week.
And then it depends on how many of them you've had.
We're
talking in a field that we know very little about.
I get that. But well, if we're concerned
what you're saying
for long-term welfare, then do we get to the point where we say the minimum you miss is a week if you're off with concussion?
Yeah, and Jim, that in a serious case, yes, that is happening. I mean, if we go back only to, there's a 2006 elimination final, wasn't it, Darce, at the MCG, where Brodie Holland cleaned up Montgomery at the very first bounce. And I think he was back on before half time. He was only put into next week, and yet he came back on. I'm just highlighting that. This is how far we've moved in a relatively short period of time.
John Platten, Don Pike in the grand final are both knocked senseless. Had no idea they'd even played
the game. As long as you could say your name, you went back out there, regardless of where you thought you were or what the situation was. I think boxing, it's a six-month mandatory. You're not allowed any contact for 6 months once you've been knocked out. And the thing that worried me the most about Nick Rewaltz was that it looked very innocuous. It didn't seem to be a lot of contact, and that was pretty worrying, I would have thought.
But by suggesting a mandatory week, Jim, that might satisfy the perception from everyone outside the industry.
Yep.
But that would be suggesting that the people inside the industry aren't doing their
job
correctly.
I get what you mean, and you are right. It's not an area of expertise, that's for sure. Luke Hodge interests all of us, Chief. He definitely plays. He was late on the plane. There was talk that he was going to miss the plane and therefore maybe miss the game because he was a late withdrawal. But he's playing, they reckon?
Well, I only go on what I read in the paper and what I see on the TV, Jim, which is... Well, I would not know, Jim.
Chief, have not ever given anything in regard to your old club.
It's 2 years since I've been involved at the club, so get over it, Jim.
Mate,
I don't know any more than you blokes know. I assume if they picked him and he travelled that he'll play.
So it's a quick turnaround with a broken arm.
It is.
But they wouldn't take any risks with him, no?
No, I think it's the way I've been had it put to me, Jim. It's just a pain management thing, and as we know, Luke Hodge doesn't feel pain like the rest of us do.
It's one of my favourite bits of vision for the year. He gets his arm smashed, and the wrist sort of drops, and he has a look at it, almost knowing that he's broken it.
Yeah.
And then just went back, took the kick. Did not flinch. Did not grimace. Played out the game. Most people have 8 weeks off work.
Yep.
He just pushed on and extraordinary pain threshold.
I'm surprised though they are playing him for this particular game for what it's worth, given that it is what we are deeming to be a rushed back situation, a game against St Kilda in Tassie. Again, it's just what Hawthorn does. Obviously, Willie Codge, once he got the absolute all clear to go, he wasn't going to be missing it. But I'm surprised that he's come back this quickly.
Josh Gibson, rested or... genuine concern.
You might know more. You was in the studio last night, wasn't
you?
No, actually,
nothing.
Did he?
And it might be the last time he comes in, too. He's going to carry on with that sort of business. But not playing, and it just had that feel of like almost a semi-resting.
Yeah, but there might be a hamstring issue too. Is that right, though?
I don't know. That's what they're saying. There might be a little tightness in there or whatever. But
I don't know why I'd rest Josh Gibson and bring back Luke Hodge in the same transaction or same game. But anyway, that's what they do, Hawks. And they don't, as a rule, seem to rest players like some other clubs might, Hawthorn. They just seem to be all in on everything when they're right to go. So
Port Adelaide playing game in China against who?
Oh, well, what are we... I'm sceptical about this, Jim. I've seen the push over 15, 20 years to South Africa. The New Zealand thing just did not work for St Kilda, and they're still yet talking about playing another NAB Challenge game there in a couple of years' time. I don't get it. And the announcement yesterday, while it was exciting from a commercial viewpoint, the game itself, situation where they weren't play Port Adelaide the game as the home team, couldn't announce the opposition who may actually take up the baton as the home team, and I just don't totally get what they're trying to do with it. I don't know how they're going to actually penetrate that market to a point where it actually means anything to anyone.
How much money jumped into the coffers for Port? You got any idea of the size of the deal?
I don't, Dars. I haven't looked into it either, but I don't. It would have been significant. You don't get the Prime Minister and the AFL CEO and the heavies that went there, but I mean, there's big deals signed in footy, but the game element to it, which was the sell to it, which gave it the clout to give it some bigger publicity than it would have otherwise got, right as it stands right now, is a bit of a gimmick.
The Asian market would be a great one to tap into, though. I mean, you don't have to get much of the Asian market to make it work, whereas New Zealand, South Africa, I thought were much more difficult in terms of what sort of response you're going to get, what sort of numbers. But if you can just tap into a tiny percentage of the Asian market. Is
that's
big.
The aim. But Jim, you interviewed David Kosh on Channel 9 last night, the footy show. He's talking about Auskick kids in the schools and then maybe going along to the game. I mean, I don't know the Chinese marketplace, but they're not going to be embracing Auskick and then use the Auskick to go and watch a game that may not be played anyway.
We'll watch it unfold, but we'll get now over to the West because Adam Simpson's been good enough to give us a couple of minutes of his time before his team take on Richmond on a Friday night. Simo, welcome to you.
Good evening, boys.
How are you tonight, mate? This is a dangerous opponent.
Yeah, look, I think there's been a lot of talk about the Tigers in particular over in the East, but we're seeing some pretty good things with the vision we're looking at, so we're preparing for them at their best, that's for sure.
Simo, very disappointing round two, but you bounced back with a win in the Derby. As far as the optimum level for the West Coast Eagles, how close to that are you travelling?
It's hard to tell at the moment. We've had three really different games. You know, the Brisbane game was It was high octane, high scoring. You know, we conceded a lot of points, but we kicked 26 goals ourselves. And the Hawthorn game, we all know that one. And then on the weekend, I thought we had a really good grind win against a really strong opposition in the Derby, which is always tough. So three completely different games, and hopefully we saw a bit of our brand in that last game.
Simo, everything gets dissected and opinions formed on every word that hangs off a senior coach, and you had a little bit to say about maybe the crowd should get stuck into Ty Vickery tonight. That was your poor attempt at humour, wasn't it, Simo?
Oh, what an absolute beat up that was. If you actually listen to the press conference, I think it was the last question someone said, do you think the crowd will give him a warm welcome or something like that? And I said, oh, why not get into him? And the way you chop and change it and mix things around, it, put it this way, it wasn't strategic, and I'll be straight batting everything else from now on.
You have been pretty guarded, I reckon, Adam, over your course. It was a little slight deviation off it.
Well,
I liked it, but
attempted. The dry sense of humour has probably come off the wrong way. So lesson learned. And, I'm actually a little bit disappointed it was chopped up like that, because you can chop up anything after 5 minutes of an interview and make it sound a little bit different.
We can track your sort of straight batting back to when Duke embarrassed himself at Launceston.
Oh, mate, don't.
Simo, so we don't blame you for being a little guarded from that moment.
Don't go back. Turning point.
Mate. Exactly right. Now you've got...
personality has changed.
Exactly. Matt Prittis has come out. But the two big defenders who were also... there were queries around. They're all playing.
Look, Prittis is not playing, and it's a big loss for us. He's been really important for us. Obviously, he's our Brownlow medalist, and he spends at least 80% of the time on ball, and he's a good connector with Nick. So, we've got to get through that midfield battle without him. The rest of the guys are fine, 100%, so they're right to go. So one change out of the sides, not too bad, but Prittis is going to leave a bit of a hole.
Adam, the ruck set up with Sinclair leaving the club after the grand final last year, and obviously Nick Natanui still maintaining the number one role. But are you happy with what's going on there with Lysette?
This rotation actually, the cap, it's actually giving you more time on the bench for some of our players, and we're actually struggling to get time on ground with Scotty and some of our mids as well. So the old eye will rest them more forward hasn't really come into play with the rotations. So Scotty hasn't had a massive look on field. I think he's developing his ruck work really well, and there's a really good combination going there. So we're not losing too much when Nick goes out of the middle, but it's still a work in progress.
And on another part of the ground, Redden, a big name recruit in the off season. How have you found his form to this point?
Look, he's fit in pretty well. He had a quiet game last week, but his first two rounds, went straight into the side, and I think he had 24 and 20 touches the first couple of weeks. On the weekend, he was a bit disappointing. So he's got a bit of work to do still to find out how he connects with our guys and try and get some love off Nick too. Prittis and Shuey hog it a little bit, so we're trying to get him involved more. And he'll get a really good look at it tonight. We really need him step up.
Are you enjoying the impact of the new rules, the deliberate out-of-bounds interpretation, but probably in particular the 10-metre protected zone? Do you think that's allowing the ground to be opened up a little easier and a bit better flow of the football?
Look, it probably is, and I still think players are the ones who've got to develop around these new rules, and they'll make the right judgments as we go, as long as we don't change them, too much. Yep. Again, because I think every week you see less and less 50s paid, and we're still working through this deliberate out of bounds, but I think that'll work itself out, and our players are the ones that have to adapt. It's really hard to coach that during the week, and every week we get different umpires with different opinions on how things are judged. So as long as we're consistent, the players will work it out, and I think you've probably seen a better game for it.
So, your game style stood you in such great stead last year. You were such a consistent team. Are you making adjustments year on year as a coach, or are they very slight? Is there anything we could tell different about the way you're going about it?
Yeah, I think the game's changing a tiny bit. Just looking at the games we've played, there's been a little bit more aggressive ball movement and less... reliance on kicking to a contest, even more so than last year. So what we did last year defensively worked really well for us, because we had really good pressure up the ground. And if we don't put that pressure on, people like McGovern and these guys who do drop off aren't getting used or aren't getting the footy. So I feel like there's more and more teams using the ball better. And, with that comes exposure the other way as well. So that's why the scoring's gone up a little bit, in my opinion.
Shepherd interests me, Simo. I reckon he's become a really, really good footballer. And early... sort of indications in his first sort of 15 to 20 games, I wasn't sure that was going to happen, but geez, his last 30 or 40, he's become an unbelievably important player for you.
You've got a couple of guys who had their best seasons last year of their career, and he was one of them, and The jury was out with him in the first couple of years. He's found his spot. His challenge now is to back it up. He hasn't quite hit his straps this year, but he's a pro. He knows how to prepare well. He's played over 100 games, and we're expecting big things from him. And his standards definitely got up, though.
And the ability to mark the footy overhead, and he's one of them that can, and you've got McGovern, who's unbelievably good at it. But what I love watching modern footy, Simo, is when the coach backs a defender to take his marks, it's liquid gold when they take him.
As long as they take him, and they're not going for every mark. We were on the side last year. We were on the side of go for your marks, and quite often we're able to get an extra number to the ball. And a lot of that was because of what we did up the ground. So, yeah, he can mark the ball well overhead, so can Sharrod, and so can Gov. And if we can get those guys in the game, it actually helps us out a fair bit.
Adam, by way of comparison with this year over last year, you don't have the luxury of sneaking up on the competition. How are you finding that as a club? Is it making you change the way you approach each week, and do you feel it's had an effect on your players as well?
I don't think it's affected our players too much. I think they enjoy the expectation. It's probably something we've got to adapt to as coaches a little bit. Walking into a game, backs against the wall, being the underdogs, I really like that element of what we had last year. As this year, there's a few more games that expectations are higher, and when you win, it's more about relief rather than excitement. Yep. So I need to keep that energy with myself and the coaches, but our players seem to have handled it pretty well.
Simo, keen to tap into the coach's psyche. I mean, it's a game that West Coast is heavily favoured to win. Do you expect to win?
Oh, of course we do. Yeah, and it's our home game, and we've got a good record here, and we think we play a really good brand of football. We want to play a really good brand everywhere, but at home, with our crowd, it's our 30-year reunion tonight. There's a lot to play for the season as well. But we can't underestimate the Tigers. You know, they're backs against the wall. The feeling that we're getting is they're on a real mission, and they really galvanise well into state. So it's going to be a tough battle, but we're going in expecting to win.
Hey, Simo, it's a fair crew now that got senior roles out of the Hawthorn system. Yourself, Brendan Bolton, Leon at GWS, and Bevo at the Bulldogs. Is there... do you guys communicate? I mean, are there coaches you've got relationships with that you'll speak with week in, week out? Or is it once you take the role, mate, you're in your own silo and you tend to just worry about your own backyard?
No, we keep in contact a little bit. There's always a couple of fallouts here and there that, you might drop out for a little while and then you come back and connect. So, look, we're all alpha males. So now we're in control of our own destiny with our own clubs. You stay in contact, but you do it with a bit of caution as well. But, yeah, they're all good blokes.
What about little top-heavy Pike? Did you say good luck to him before he got his first game underway with a straight back and a really tilted sort of head on him?
Well, we're still tight at the moment, him and I, because we haven't played each other yet. And you wait, he'll close down pretty quickly once we start playing.
Hey, mate, we've chewed up a lot of your time. Thank you very much for that. Good luck tonight. Big game for your club.
Cheers, boys.
Thanks, Simo.
Tonight, for me now, I thought those the early whispers, Duke, were all four of those players were coming out. And certainly the two big defenders and Pritis were going to make a big difference. But if it's only Pritis, I think you're probably pretty comfortably still thinking West Coast.
It'll take something special for the Tigers to get up tonight. But it was great chatting to Adam Simpson. I just think he's an absolute ripper, by the way. He's got great composure and very consistent in the way they go about the Eagles, which makes them very hard to beat. But it was interesting to hear him say, we get the feeling they're here on a mission. They've galvanised. They wanted to come into state. They're a good side when they bond into state. And, the record would say that, Chief. So they'll have to get everything right. They'll have to get a good start. But it is not beyond them.
The way the first 3 weeks of the season have gone, I don't think anything surprises anymore. Some of the results we've already seen.
Yeah.
Sometimes form just doesn't stack up. So on form, I think West Coast should win comfortably. But we're yet to see the best of the Tigers. It may just come out tonight. You never know.
I want to qualify if it's only Pritis. That sounds like I don't rate him as a player. He's an extraordinary player, but they have got a very deep midfield, so they can probably cover him, whereas the two big defenders, if they go out...
McGovern in particular, for me, Damo, is just a star player. And the way the modern defence play, as you mentioned before, you can mark it and run and read the play, they're as important as anyone.
Still played, I think, less than 30 games of footy, does, or thereabouts anyway. He, the body shape of him was a talking point last year. Has it changed to the point where we stopped talking about that when we talk about him?
Well, the attitude was an issue. They sent him away from the club for a couple of weeks there, just before round one, I think, if my memory serves me correctly, and came back and just shot the lights out for the whole year, McGovern, and a very, very good 30-game player, that man.
His old man, of course, went by the nickname of Pudding Guts because he was a fat bastard when he played AFL football. So it probably goes in the family a little bit that the skin fold's been an issue, too.
I tell you what, his brother looks a handy player, too. Yeah, so I think there's some good genes in the family. Yeah, don't worry about that. They can play.
No doubt about that. What about, let's look at the other games that are of great interest. I mean, they all are, but there's some beauties. Adelaide, Sydney at the Adelaide Oval.
A cracker.
Going to be an absolute cracker.
Match of the round for mine, Jim.
Yep,
that one.
I agree.
I think I underestimated Adelaide coming into the year, given what I've seen from them over the first 3 weeks. I knew Sydney were going to be good because they always are. That's what we get from them. You kind of know what you're going to get from the Swans, but I think they've been one of the revelations. Adelaide, they just play a very fast, attacking brand of football. And at the Adelaide Oval, the one thing I guess that worries, if you wanted to say there, you know, they'll win at home, is the fact that Sydney keep going there and winning.
Yep.
Mm. I think they won the last three times they've been there. So that makes life difficult, but I ended up tipping Adelaide. Just on the home basis more than anything.
Chief, the forward line combo of Walker, Jenkins, Betts and Lynch who missed last week.
Yep.
And you throw Malira in now. I know he's a young player and he might have some downs, but he's part of it right now. How good is it? And can you make a claim that it is the best forward line in the comp?
It's got great diversity. They all get up the ground. They can all run. They can all cover ground. There's a great mix of what they all bring to the table. In particular, the three big forwards can all play different roles as well. So there's a lot to like. I think it gives Don Pike a lot of options and they can adapt to whatever style of play is happening on the day. So I think that's certainly one of their strengths. But I just love the commitment from the whole 22, the way they're playing at the moment.
Jacobs, how big an impact will he have on that game?
Yeah, look, I really rate Jacobs. Maybe not as highly as perhaps people over there have in the past. I think his game developing and he's what I like now is that he's finding the footy, he's taking marks around the ground, he's starting to lay tackles. And that, to me, is what completes a good player. That's why I love Todd Goldstein and that battle that we saw last week with the big boy from Melbourne who had a great game as well. But I just want to go back to Don Pike, Jim, and I think Adelaide have made a great selection there. And
agreed.
You just look at him as a smart, really well-balanced individual. He looks as though that group have embraced him straight away. He said there was a lot of things happening there that were great. He's just put his own little signature on it. If you get that right, and the group just seem to be so happy in the environment he's created, that's a great positive for Adelaide.
Well, smart is the first thing, Chief, I reckon. Mm. You cannot appoint a senior coach to a footy club anymore who isn't smart. Yeah. Well, you look at Alistair Clarkson, you look at the Scott brothers, you look at Don Pike now, you look at
Luke Beveridge.
Luke Beveridge, they are elite smart people. Yeah. And you need to be, because if you're not, you're just going to get left behind and in a hurry. And
good background.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been in a couple of different programs.
Yeah.
He's sat at board level. He's worked as an assistant coach. So.
Got a successful businessman.
Commercial background as well. He's run organisations and leadership. And I think that sort of mix of your CV, because it's such a complex role now, it's such a big business, there's so many different elements to it that it chews people up and spits them out who haven't got the right capacity.
And does the absence of Dangerfield in that mix, I mean, I put my hand up. I thought that was going to kill off any hopes they had of returning to the finals. It seems to have breathed life into it. How can that happen when it's a club like Adelaide, who's only just got to the finals last year, won the final, yes, but were not being considered to be a serious player? And I know it's only three rounds in, but they look as though they haven't lost anything for him not being there.
I think it's a lot to do with the way that they play total team defence, team offence. They rotate a lot through the midfield. They'd be a much better side if Danger fronted up this week and did what he did, but perhaps less than
different
ever.
Setup.
Less than ever, you require one player to win the game off their own back. It's probably not as big a deal as it was in the past.
Greater West Sydney, Port Adelaide interests me, Chief.
Tough game.
Very.
They've got some handy ins, Port Adelaide. I think they got Wingard back. They got Hartlett back, and there might have been one other. I think they had three decent inclusions. So that becomes a really difficult game to pick. I kind of had hopes for Port Adelaide finding their best form again this year, but they didn't deliver over the first few weeks, so I've been a bit disappointed with what I've seen from them.
Still 2-1 though, aren't they? When it's all said and done.
They're 2-1. I don't think it's impressive 2-1.
No, and Ken Hinckley has admitted that, hasn't he? And quite openly, I love the way Ken Hinckley, we talked about Adam Simpson before, and Ken Hinckley to me does always answer the question very much from the heart, and he's been very open, particularly in the past 7 days, about what happened, what's been happening in the first 3 weeks for them.
GWS, likewise, you look at Jeremy Cameron, who's suspended for a month. They lost their first game to Melbourne by 2 points. They had all the scoring opportunities. And then they've been pretty solid after that. They're pretty good for three quarters against the Sydney Swans and beat Geelong. This becomes a big game for them.
It does.
It really has a lot riding on what their year looks like, I think, if they can't get the job done against Port.
Collingwood, Melbourne.
Oh, toss the coin.
Well, it's not waiting, according to Ben Dixon.
I know, but I'm waiting to see what both teams bring. Melbourne were terrific last week, fighting back when you, most people would have expected them just to cop it after that first quarter flogging, but they got back into it, and then you could argue they, you know, they had their chances to win the game. So that was against a quality opposition. They did well. They beat GWS in round one, and they probably weren't expected to as well. So, you know, they've got themselves into the mix, and I don't think Collingwood have been impressive by any stretch of the imagination. There's a few holes in that lineup, but again, they're the ones that have had all the darts thrown at them this week. I mean, they've got their backs to the wall, so they have to come out and find something.
Three wins only, Chief, from the last 14 premiership season matches. And look, you can talk about lots of things and you can analyse lots of things, but that fact is one that just does not lie.
But it's not just the numbers. For me, it's, I don't think they're playing a great brand of footy.
Right.
I mean, it looks very disjointed at times. I saw them down at Geelong in the NAB Challenge, and I thought, that's the best I've seen them for ages. They kicked 10 or 11 goals in one quarter. They moved the ball beautifully. I thought it was terrific. I haven't seen it again since, unfortunately.
Tuvi, so, side bottom, Varko in.
Good ins.
They're big ins.
Varko was probably their best performer in the NAB Challenge. I thought he was outstanding, coming off a good year last year. I think he's a very important player for them, and we know the class of side bottom, of course.
And Freo North Melbourne is, you hate, we said this last week, you hate coming up against a mob who haven't won a game for the season.
Don't undersell
this is the mob that finished on top of the ladder last year, Chief.
Jim, this is the mob that can't get near it. You just turn up and win.
Hasn't got Mundy or Sandilands, Jim.
You turn up
and you
win, Jim.
You said that last week.
You can even dial in whatever percentage you want.
Oh, please. Honestly, if they're not taking me seriously, Duke, I'm going to stop this.
You're actually a little bit of Chief's routine. It doesn't go well for you, Jim.
It's not good. It's get the swagger back, Jim. That's what you normally like.
Not the way you operate.
It's got red warning bells flashing all over the top of it. I'm telling you now.
You're better than that, Jim. All right. You're better than that.
Now, we haven't ignored the other. There'll be people listening going, why haven't you spoken about our games? Well, the other ones are probably a little more cut and dried, I think. The Gold Coast Suns interest me. We've got about a minute left. They will probably, you'd think, beat Brisbane.
Yep.
And a 4-0. It's an unbelievable start to the season.
It is, which I think a lot of people have been waiting for now. I didn't know it was going to come this early in the year. Wasn't quite sure what to expect from them, but I like the fact that they're up and running. And we want GWS up and running as well.
Yep.
It's good to have some of these newer teams in the mix and playing good football. And they've got a big strong team.
I was up there last Saturday night, saw Gold Coast in the flesh. Very impressive. Great brand of football. Jager O'Meara and David Swallow, two number one draft picks in the midfield to come back in.
Yep.
At some stage in the middle part of the year.
Well, Das, I think you have to actually look at that as being only a possibility when it's all said and done.
That they'll come back?
Yeah, yeah. Particularly in O'Meara's case. He's just been through so much. Swallow is unknown, but they're both carrying injuries which are now already long term.
Okay, I sat next to him last week, Jager, and he said within a month.
In the ones?
Well, he's a star. Shut up! The footy's on Triple M. Triple M rocks football.